Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Welcome back. I'm Troy Ballhofer, and you're on the bus at Country Thunder. We're coming at you with backstage stories from the 6th annual Country Thunder Music Festivals held across North America. Get ready for real talk about the state of the music industry with thoughts, insights, and stories from some of the biggest stars, executives, and professionals in the music business.
Hey everybody, it's Troy Ballhofer here from Country Thunder on the bus, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We have Nate Smith here, live in Phoenix, Arizona. Country Thunder.
What's up, my friend?
How are you, man?
Dude, I am very excited to be here. This is going to be a fun day. Seems like everybody's pretty revved up, so.
Yeah, were you anywhere last night? Did you play last night?
No. We just got to town. We just kind of got our feel for the Arizona vibe out here, you know, and had a good night. Yeah. So we did a little pregame. Let's put it that way.
That's super cool. Yeah. Everyone says, yeah, man, we went out last night and partied our asses off.
We partied. Okay, we partied really hard. Okay, I'll be honest. Like, really hard. I took an IV before. Like, it was one of those things.
Yeah, so, you look great. Man.
Thanks.
You look great.
Had to do it.
I haven't seen you since your birthday party. So it's
isn't that crazy? I forgot my birthday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. So, congratulations on your success.
Dude, thanks, man.
Your career is going definitely in the right trajectory. I mean, holy smokes. You've done some great things. So let's talk about your upbringing. Like, when you started out, you came from Paradise, California.
Just a chubby kid from Paradise, California. Had, like, so much acne. My brother said he could find a Ryan's belt on my face. And it was disturbing, you know. But I grew past that. Started washing my face. But just small town, like normal stuff, and just, you know, good community in the foothills, kind of awesome. In the mountain area. So
who was your inspiration? What turned you on to music, and when did you start playing and singing?
Man, my earliest memories, honestly, was like Michael Jackson, Garth Brooks, that kind of thing, and just kind of started off that way and just loved singing immediately. There's a video of me at 3, like, jamming on a plastic guitar. I think I said the F word. On it, singing Johnny Be Good. It's always been in me, man.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Well, you know, it's pretty interesting to see your success in Canada also. I mean, congratulations on that.
I love Canada,
That's the longest-running number one, I believe, of a new artist coming out.
I could not believe that.
Have you done much work in Canada? Yeah.
We did Boots and Hearts. Yeah. Absolutely wild. Yeah, I'm sure you know those
festival.
Guys. Great
absolutely,
people.
Yeah.
Nuts. I mean, the Canada fans are just a whole nother level. It's crazy. And then we did shows in Edmonton and Calgary. We did Ranchman's, which was pretty awesome spot. And looking forward to getting up there. We're going to be playing in May at the Horseshoe. We're going to do a couple shows in a row. So excited to get back there.
No, and it's interesting because now you have an international career in front of you, which
like
is pretty darn cool,
Come on. That's amazing.
So what were you doing 3 years ago at this time, 4 years ago at this time?
I was working in a hospital.
Yep.
I was working in ICU and trauma. And just like seeing the craziest stuff you can imagine, you know, I'm chest compressions, I'm CPR on people all the time. And you know, just people at their absolute like worst family, you know, it was a crazy thing, but I loved bringing like joy to people and like walking in a room, like, what's up everybody? Can I get you anything? And hugging everybody. It felt like family within the first few hours.
You were the sunshine on a rainy day.
I tried
day.
To be, man.
That's
yeah.
Awesome,
and
man.
I love people a lot, you know, so that's what's cool about doing this now is like, I'm still helping people in a different way, and, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Did you buy that watch when you got your first number one?
You know what? I did. Well, actually, no. So I bought this watch the day I signed my record deal.
Beautiful.
But Chief and Simon, my management, obviously, they bought me a Rolex on the day it went number one. So they kept their promise. They said they would do it, and then they did it, and it's great. I love it so much.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the very beginning of the TikTok thing that started your whole career, really, like a rocket ship. How did that come about, and what were you thinking, and what were you doing, and at the time? And
I was moving to Nashville on a GoFundMe with pretty much no money, you know, but enough to get here and stuff. And a friend of mine was like, "You got to try the TikTok thing." And I'm like, "That's not very country. It doesn't seem like it's a country." Like, guys are like, "Yeah, I'm on TikTok. You go on there ever? I'm gonna spit my chew and watch TikToks." Like, I just don't see that, you know. But this was early days. There wasn't a lot of country artists doing that, so just started posting stuff on there, and it seemed to really connect. And I noticed that there was a definite correlation with view counts and pre-saves on TikTok with DSP streaming numbers, and then ultimately radio, you know. So it's just an incredible platform to like build a story of a song, you know, all the way through. So by the time you get to all the other partners, they're just fired up about it. So I'm very thankful.
So when it started to go viral, how did that feel? I mean, that was your first taste of real success, I believe, right?
I was like, yes. I was really excited, man. I'm like, oh my gosh, they like the song. This is crazy. And I got to start seeing people use the song for moments in their life, like proposals and stuff like that. Right. And I'm like, that is cool. Like, there's a lot of good songs out there. You sure you want to use mine? But yeah.
And that's how that led into the record deal.
Ultimately, I mean, it led into my publishing deal. I'd say that. And then I wrote songs with Sony Publishing for about a year and a half, and then which was the best artist development possible, because you're in the rooms, always on a microphone, singing, learning your voice more and more in this level, you know. Yeah. And then just continued to put songs out using the TikTok method or whatever you want to call it, and it was helping every single time. And then we were ready for a record deal.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. How many songs on this record did you have part of writing?
Well, over half probably.
Wow.
I'd say.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. But it's like, to me, it doesn't really matter if I write them or not. I mean, I want to write songs. I love doing it, but for me, it's like, it's just about the song. So like, there's such good songs in Nashville. Like, it would be crazy not to cut them.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm always in a room like, I love the song we got today, but send me a whole folder and I'll listen to every song you guys got. Cause I mean, that's where you find the gold, and you know.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to Tim McGraw one day tell a story, and, you know, he said, I don't write a lot, but I'm the best song picker in the business.
Hey.
And I mean, he's made a career out of picking songs.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. That's no joke. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, so everyone has their own kind of vibe. And what kind of writer rooms have you been in? Who are some of the people you've written with?
Everybody from, you know, Tranny Anderson, James McNair, to Ashley Gorley, and just... Lindsey Rhymes, obviously. I've been doing a lot of stuff with him with Whiskey on You. We wrote that one together. But everybody's been willing to write with me, and I can't believe that, you know. So it's been pretty fun to figure it out. And it's, like, funny. Like, when you work with somebody like Ashley Gorley, you know, it's, like, all the hype. You know, the guy's got, like, 70 number ones, all this stuff. I go in the room, and within 10 minutes, I'm like, that's why. Okay, I get it. Like, he's so smart. Like, the way that he comes up with ideas marries the lyric with the melody perfectly, and it's always the right choice.
Ashley writes with a piano, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. He does. And then half of the time, I noticed, like, so half the time he jumped up there, did it on the piano, the other half he was sitting down, but he would just, like, sit there, and by the time he said an idea, he'd already thought about 30 ideas in his head, it seemed like. Right. Like, it was that vibe. It was like, whoa. You know?
Man, he's prolific. He's been a triple play guy multiple times.
You know what he said to me, too? I'll never forget this. He said, my job is to write a song that nobody can sing but you, but then everybody can sing. I was like, what? Like, I had to think about it for a second. Like, a song that only you could cut, but everybody could sing it. Like, it was kind of a genius thing. It's perfectly tailored for you, and then, like, you get a crowd singing it, you know? So,
well, fans, if you don't know who Ashley Gorley is, Ashley Gorley is probably one of the most successful Nashville songwriters in this era of music. And to have that privilege to be able to write with somebody like who's written so many number ones, I mean, that must be super
cool. And he's cool. Like, he's such a bro. Like, yeah. He's just awesome. Yeah.
You know, I met his dog. I've not met him yet. He lives just down the street from me. So, yeah, his dog was lost one day. So, we met his dog. I've not had the opportunity to meet Ashley, but I look forward to it.
You will.
Yeah, we live in a pretty cool street because we have Tom Douglas, who's, well, you know.
Oh, I know where you're at. Writer. I know where you're at.
And then Ashley at the end, right? Yep. So, yep. It's like, I know where you're at. Writer's Row. It's super cool, right? Very. You know,
there's something art, on that.
It's
street.
Got a vibe, man. Yeah, it's very cool. So what's your plans this summer? Tell me about your tour. Tell me about what's going on.
Obviously, we're doing some Country Thunders, so that's pretty freaking amazing. This is my first time even getting to attend one, so this is the best way to be able to attend, I'd say, is just jump up there and make some noise. So I'm so excited. Thank you for having us on that, and I really mean it. It's amazing. We're doing more festivals. We've got my album is dropping April 28th, and then we've got a surprise. I don't know when this is going to air. But we've got a surprise coming that day, so very excited about. And then we're hopping on the Thomas Rhett tour.
Yeah.
So we'll be out with him and Cole for 45 dates, and then I'm going out with just Cole in the fall as direct support. We got a Morgan Wallen show coming up in about a week and a half with Hardy and Ernest, and it's at a stadium. It's gonna be freaking insane. I can't believe that he's letting me hop up there. You know, Bailey called in sick, you know, or something. I don't know what's going on, but I got the spot. So I was like, thank you.
That's a great slot to be. I mean, it's probably going to be one of the largest grossing country tours of the year. So to be getting a slot on that.
For God, man. Fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, it's very special. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, you're in great hands there, you know. Your first time on a bus? When was your first time on a bus?
Yeah, well, here's the funny story. So I went out this last fall with a guy named Larry Fleet.
Yeah, Larry Fleet, absolutely.
Freaking great amazing, artist. Amazing, fantastic amazing artist. Good guy. But I got to open up for him for a couple weeks, and he gave me a bunk on his bus, and I went up there just acoustic and did that whole thing. Turns out the bus that we have was Larry's bus. So we have, it's like a full circle moment where it's like, this is my bus now, what the heck? And this is my first time with a band and everything, going on a bus and doing the thing, and everybody's so rested, you know? I feel great.
Good. We got many more years ahead of you on a bus and maybe a plane. And
hey, you know, I won't be greedy, but I'm so happy that everybody's comfortable.
So who were your inspirations? Like who, you know, where'd you get your vibe from? Like who really was the one that said, got your heart and inspired you to become an artist?
God, man, that's I don't know if it's easy for some people, but like that's such a split thing for me. I mean, like, I feel like everything has led up to this, you know, but like my favorite rock band is probably Nirvana. I don't know what it is. I'm obsessed with the legend of it and like the whole conspiracy and stuff, but the songs really got me. But I mean, the beats of Michael Jackson, the rasp in his voice, the way that Garth brought this tenderness to his songs, but it was so authentic, the way he treats his fans. And my dad got me into 70s classic rock and stuff like that. And obviously Journey and it's been just such a hodgepodge of things, man. And then once you get to Nashville, it's like you're in these rooms and you're developing what's coming out of you. All these things go in and it's like what's actually going to be coming out. So, and I think that's what makes, and you just got to lean into whatever that is, you know, and just be like, hey, like I'm going to be myself completely, you know.
So you started writing the next record?
We're working on it always. Yeah, I've got people coming out on the bus this year and stuff, and definitely got to follow it up.
Yeah, so just to explain to our listeners, a lot of writers go on tour with the artists. Running down the highway, sitting at festivals during the day, sitting at stadiums or theaters or arenas in the parking lot writing songs.
Yeah.
That's such a neat thing because I think country music is the only actual form of music that has that style of writing, how writers write together on the road. You don't see that in rock and roll so much.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I've heard that, though. You would definitely know. Yeah. But
it's pretty neat. It's a really cool thing, and so many great songs have come off of tour buses, you know, I mean, going over the course of time, but, you know, man, I really appreciate you coming out today and doing this thing. I know it's a burden to come and do an interview in the middle of the day.
Such a burden. Oh, my God. No, I was really looking forward to this, because we've already hung out, and, like, I was like, this is just going to be a good time and hang out with my buddy, so I'm so happy to be here, man.
Well,
I really
I'm glad.
Am.
Well, thank you for everything.
Dude, thank you, Troy.
You know, Country Thunder on the bus. And Nate Smith's going to be performing this afternoon. And come catch him at any of the future Country Thunders if you haven't attended. And thank you very much, Nate. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you to our guests on this episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review whenever you listen. Until next time, I'm Troy Volhoffer, and you're on the bus at Country Thunder. I just won't stop whining. I want that lightning that's so bright it's blinding. I want a sky full of stars to be under. Country.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.